Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Keegan's game on Friday was ridiculous. He had just set a career high. I think it was the game before with 10 rebounds. He has 14 rebounds in that game. And the arena explodes louder and louder and louder after every three that he hit. And he's, I mean, he, what did he have? I think he had 20 against Memphis. Like, he's on an incredible run, man. Him and Harrison Barnes both, they're just on incredible runs.
Yeah, what we're seeing from Harrison Barnes is some of the, like, craziest stuff.
Three All-Stars!
Yeah, you get on, like, a full Oprah and just give them all or some All-Stars. Yeah,
might as well, the way that they're playing right now.
Yeah, like, man, you're just watching him grow. And then, again, I'll point out, like, against a young team like that, he instantly sensed that the players around him were young. And you could feel it. Like, oh, he's more comfortable. And that's something to watch. Like, we're seeing this team throughout, like, sort of their maturation. Like, they put on a show against bad teams, typically. I mean, mm-hmm. They've had, like, what, two or three slip-ups. And even those slip-ups are against, like, Charlotte, who got all their guys back, Washington, who got a bunch of their guys back, and then the Lakers. And you're like, oh, they slipped. Well, those are like really the only three truly bad losses of the season. But you see this team like against a typical bad team, a young team, and they just have an ability to hit the pedal and blow them out by 25 now. And so we're seeing this growth. And then against really good teams, it's usually a tight game, and it comes down to who makes shots, who makes the fewest mistakes, or who gets the calls. And, you know, the Kings aren't going to get the calls, so they can't leave it at that. But I do feel like they are growing and figuring out ways to win. And, like, this whole stretch where they had so many games that are 1- and 2-point games, it's just so good for this team, especially as we get later in the season when you're going to have a lot of games that actually mean absolutely nothing or games that are huge in the standings. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see, you know, what they're made of.
I talked about it on Tuesday. We didn't get a chance to talk to you about it after the game on Monday until now, but I talked about it on Tuesday. I was like, that game on Monday night was the full Sacramento Kings experience in one game. You don't typically get it in one game, right? Like, you get them exploding to start the game on the offensive end, absolutely showing their offensive explosiveness. And then the Grizzlies are still in the game, and they come back and take the lead because the Kings don't play defense. So the Kings are always going to give teams an opportunity to get in because they don't play defense. And then you get to the point where the Kings just have another explosion after they play some defense for about 3 or 4 minutes, which is what they do. They give you about 3 or 4 minutes, and they combine that with another explosion to go from a tie game at 80-80 to winning 133-100. I mean, is that about how you saw it, too? It was the full Kings experience on Monday, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but I also don't think that I ever truly felt that it was in doubt. I mean, I thought that, like, Desmond Bane, like, does he just, like, roll into every city and, like, walk around saying, hey, which way to the gym? Like, that dude is so yoked.
I believe that's exactly
what
he does.
In the world is happening? So people are like, oh, he just keeps getting to the rim. It's like,
how are you going to stop?
Okay. Yeah, there's a reason why Derrick Henry scores 20 touchdowns every year, because he's bigger and stronger than everybody else. Yeah. Like, how do you stop Desmond Bane from getting to the rack? Right. And especially when you have Jaw there doing the same thing. So I think that that game really does like pivot because you're missing two of their best players and, you know, like an extremely explosive player, but also like the perfect counter to Domantas Sabonis and Steven Adams. So I'm not going to put all that much stock in that. But if you go back to the Philly game, you could see what sort of what I'm talking about, like against Tobias Harris, like Keegan wasn't the same player. Like he looked off against a player who really does like physically match up. He matches up with like they should have a good game. But we saw one guy who's got the experience and one guy who doesn't. And you could see that Keegan was a little shaky. But then to see him come back and do really good things against a really strong Memphis team was impressive as well.
One guy I don't think has gotten enough love over the course of the last couple of days, given the outings from Harrison Barnes and James. I want to talk about Trey Lyles here in just a couple of minutes. But this guy ties into a conversation we had just a couple of days ago, and that was the outing from Malik Monk. A near triple-double performance from him, and it was 13 points. But, and James, you tell me if I'm wrong, because you spend more time at the arena than I do. I feel like when Malik scores, like that, the energy he puts out is the energy he gets back from those fans. And he is the loudest 13-point scorer in the league. And there is just a different energy when Malik is cooking on the offensive end.
Isn't it funny? Like, we talked about this early in the season. Like, when he scores anything, you're like, oh my gosh, it's so huge. And Trey Lyles just goes out there and drops 24 on you. And it's the quietest 24.
I think like, it's the reactions.
I guess so. It's also like Trey Lyles is so workmanlike and Monk is so flashy.
I framed it like this. Could you imagine if it was Malik and not Harrison? If it was Malik Monk who had hit five straight threes to start the game?
Oh, there wouldn't be a roof on Golden 1 Center. It would have already blown off. Like, the fans would have blown the roof off. I totally agree. And, you know, like, look, we went through on Monday, like, the stats, right? The stats are horrible, like, for him for the last, since the first week in December.
Not great.
And I know some people took offense to me saying that, like, he had become almost unplayable. Like, look, I'm not saying
I took offense to it.
You could take offense to it all you want, but like when someone's not coming up with the goods, that's where you're at. And I thought he fully came up with it. And the other thing I found very humorous, he knew exactly where he was statistically. He got pissed at Sabonis for A, missing a layup, but also stealing his rebound. So Sabonis went up, grabbed a rebound, and he heard it from Malik. Malik's like, dude, I'm right there. Like, he's pointing up at, like, and Sabonis even talked about it after the game. Just like, hey, man, he was not happy I stole that rebound. He knew exactly where. And Sabonis, like, he's wandering the earth, like, tripping over triple doubles. He doesn't even really notice it's happening. But some guys, they know exactly where they're. And I'm glad Malik had a game like that but he's got to play over. It's got to carry over into the next game. You can't have the 33-point game and then nothing for 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's a dry spell that you can't deal with. We went through it. Was it 9 games? He's averaging like 8 points a game and shooting like 32% from the field. It's just unacceptable. Yeah. And so I'm glad he's back, but Mike has been a little cryptic there look.
Mike, calm down.
He needs to get in.
Mike, you can't do anything. Stop this. Let him play through it.
He needs to get in the gym. That's what he keeps saying. Like, he needs to make sure he's doing the things to get out of it. Mm. And that means he needs to be in the gym. And it's like, what are you saying there? He hasn't been in the gym? It's been some interesting stuff that we've seen. Mm. I like the way that Mike isn't afraid to put players a little bit of blast.
Well, so far, these guys, from everything we can see, so far they respect it. They're like, all right, well.
Yeah, they've responded. Yeah. I mean, I think wasn't it the game before that Mike said, oh, you know, maybe we'll have to figure out what to do with Malik Monk. And we came in here, and I think the three of us talked about,
like, no, the hell you're not, Mike.
Figure it out. You're going to let him play through it is what you're going to
do.
And then my memory's not, it could be wrong. I think the next game was the Memphis game. Because I think we were talking about this.
Oh no!
That day
it was Monday. Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah. Like, but it's part of what we have to do. We have to discuss, and sometimes it's uncomfortable because you're like, we know how much that guy means to this team. Like, he is one of the heart and soul players of
this
team.
Absolutely.
But 2 years ago, so was Rashawn Holmes. Mm. And so, like, that comes and it goes. Like, you got to be consistent. You got to, like, your teammates understand. They see the box score as well. There's no hiding from the numbers. Mm-hmm. And so you got to live up to what you're supposed to live up to on a basketball court. And they know how much they need him. But they also, like, look, if you're not going to be that guy, then we got to find other answers. Like, everyone feels that way. And that might mean that they don't give you the ball nearly as much. Your teammates, they might, like, look, if he's not hitting any shots, okay, I'm going to give it to Keegan because he is. Mm. Or I'm going to give it to Kevin because he is. I mean, we totally missed. Kevin Herter had, like, 4 points. The Kings lambasted somebody. They're starting shooting guard. That's 4 points. Like, of all the guys who hit
20 threes and they're starting shooting
guard. Yeah, they had 12 threes points in the first quarter. I don't know how many he ended. They had 12 threes in the first quarter, and yeah. Kevin Herter had none.
None. He did. I don't think he had one until the third quarter.
Oh, that's amazing.
And he only had one.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I that was just, like, a crazy offensive thing. And I'll also point this out. Like, we here in Sacramento, it's like, you know, we've been beat down with one word since the Michael Malone era.
Pace.
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 And every time we're like, New York City, like, it's like the old Pace Picante commercial. And, like, does it even matter now? Pace doesn't even, the Kings keep dropping in pace and keep going up in offensive rating and keep going up in points per game.
That's why I always thought it was stupid. Like, the pace, no, it was just something people, like, grabbed onto for some reason. And it was really the Jaeger year, right? Like, when they started, weren't they, like, first in pace? And
I'll tell you,
that's what they used to always get mad at Luke. Well, the pace is different now. The pace, that's why we're not winning. Shut the hell up.
We were looking for reasons to be mad at Luke. Shut up, dude. Kenny. It was a gimmick the whole time.
Mike Malone, like, said the word pace out of spite at least 500 times. He hated the term. All he cared about was playing defense, and all the people above him cared about was pace, was them running. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's, again, why he was called a Sousa marching band leader and not a jazz band leader. Because somehow pace equates to being a jazz band leader.
Hey, this is Vivek's day. Stop bringing up old stuff.
It was a long time ago. Vivek is a new man.
He's delivered. A new man. Who,
yeah.
He is. He's delivered us Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox for another handful of years. Was that one of the crazier games, the Memphis game, that you can remember covering? Like, I'm talking about basketball stuff. Drama stuff aside.
I'm going to be honest. I'm watching. It's the most incredible first quarter that I've ever seen. Like, what they end up with 47 points. Mm-hmm. I felt so bad. So, anyone who has YouTube TV out there, the good folks that have YouTube TV,
yeah,
like, look, I felt so bad for you, and I start seeing it. My wife hits me up, like, where is the game? And I'm scrambling. I'm texting while I'm watching this incredible thing unfold. And look, I got a bunch of friends there, so I was reaching out, and then they're like, look, we don't know who's blacked out and who's not. And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? They're like, can you ask for zip codes? So I literally asked for zip codes. That tweet's still going. People in, like, Minnesota are giving me their zip codes. But I was trying to help out for a company that I no longer work for.
That's very
nice. I was trying to, because I'm watching something special, and all of these Kings fans are getting screwed out of watching. And it's not
they're
only
watching a dog show.
They're watching a 5-year-old dog show.
Oh, yes. Wasn't even live.
It wasn't even a good brand new dog.
That's something Kenny would do.
No, I'm like waiting for the best to show people to pop on and start chatting. But like, I looked on my phone, I'm like, oh no, it's not here. So
that's tough. That's like the if you guys are ever like much like we do with TNT, and we always watch Charmed.
Oh,
after
yeah.
Kings games, there's like these martial arts boxing shows that come on that are old as dirt. Mm. Like, they're sitting there talking to
like old American
Vernon
Ninja
Forrest. Like, hey, what about this Ninja fight Warriors last week? Like, what? That's what they did with the dog show.
Mine always just plays the music. Mine just goes purple and plays that awful music. And God forbid I turn the screen back on the next morning because the music is always really loud.
Yeah. Yeah, and you might get like some Ronco stuff like the next morning.
Well,
like,
that's bizarre. I don't know what's going on.
Well, it might be just be streaming. I don't know.
So out there, people, I was trying to help. That's all. Like, and I was trying to help the Kings fans because I was watching something special, and I'm like, oh man, I can't believe they're not. Normally, I'm not helping out. I might send a text to somebody and say, hey, your game's not on again. This is the third time this season this has happened.
And it never, from what I, it never went on, right?
It started going on. I started seeing responses. Hey, it's back on in my zip code.
I don't think it went on in everybody's zip code.
Yeah.
Only the people who responded to James's tweet, I guess, got to see the game. But you had all of that happening at the beginning, the YouTube TV drama combined with the ridiculous amount of three-pointers. The fact that this team was, and this was the thing we talked about so much the next day, it was just three after three after three from Harrison, and then Keegan got in on the act, and then Davion got in on the act. Everybody was in on it, and they were up by two, and then three, and it's like, okay, like, defense, all right, man. Like, man, they just threw their best offensive punch possible at this team. The game's going to settle down. This pace, sorry, no pun intended, is not going to continue. The shooting pace isn't going to continue. How is this game going to shape out? There's a little bit of room there, but we're all antsy headed into the fourth quarter. And then something happens where the Memphis, one, the Kings picked up their defense. De'Aaron started becoming a menace on the defensive end. And then the shot started falling again. And Memphis was done at that point, and it was a 30-4 run to close out that game.
Yeah, have you ever seen that?
I don't think so.
30-4 run in the last 9:59.
Like they won that. It's still funny to say that they won that game by 33 points.
Yeah, it was the fourth quarter. I think was 33-10.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, but that last stretch was.
Those 6 points for the Memphis Grizzlies came pretty quick in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and that's while they had bench players in too. Mm-hmm. I mean, even look what Trey Lyles did in that moment. I mean, crazy. Trey Lyles was like absolutely
wild.
He's
been incredible.
He has been.
He just does everything right. Like there on occasion he has a stinker of a game, but he's so smart. And he just does the right things on the court.
But even if you have a stinker of a game, that doesn't necessarily mean he did something wrong.
Right. Oh, true. Right.
Like he feels like that he feels like the guy who's constantly going to make the right play, whether the shot falls or not, different story. But he's not going to put you in harm's way, so to speak.
Yeah, totally. And I know Mike has worked a ton with him on he's talked about the scouting report with Trey Lyles. He's like, our scout was that. We didn't have to run at you at the three-point line because you were just going to pump fake and try to go around us. So we just stay down on you, and we didn't go up. Mm. And he's like, so I need you to shoot that ball. He's like, you're a great shooter. Stop with the pump fakes. You get in the key, that's fine. Do your pump fake thing. You know, but out on the perimeter, you take the ball. And when you catch it, you're ready to fire, and you fire it. And I think it's made a tremendous difference. What's he shooting, like 37, 38% now? Mm. And he's just adding that other weapon that you didn't know that you could have. And then he started blocking shots. He ended up with three blocks. Like, that guy was all over the court. And he just gives you a really reliable, competent player. And if you look at his stats, are so much worse than they were last year. Like, his scoring numbers and output stuff, it's not the same. It's just about the opportunity that he's doing. And he's playing so much better as a basketball player than he was last year. So, yeah, he impressed me, like, day one when he got into town. I'm like, how in the world is Trey Lyles making $2.6 million? Like, that was my first thought. You watch him play for like three games, you're like, okay, why is he underpaid like this? Yeah. And then he loses 20 something pounds during the offseason, comes in just cut, and he's got a better lift. He's, you know, going in and getting rebounds, which again, he's a guy that was always great on the offensive rebounds, but not great on the defensive boards. Mm-hmm. Mike lit a fire under him, said, hey, man, I need you to get defensive rebounds now. Okay. Went out, starts getting 8 rebounds, 6 rebounds a game. And you're like, okay, like you can stay on the court. He's been on the court in crunch time because he's played his way into it. And super happy for the guy, super impressed with what he's doing. But also, like, he's the guy that he's answered some of the questions what Sacramento Kings need. Like, do they still need a rangy defender that can do a bunch of things, that can block shots and stuff? Sure they do, but, like, he's a good guy to have on your roster.
Yeah. I talked about it on Monday. I mean, I'd love to see him around here moving forward. I know he's a free agent. He may get some offers that are maybe outside of what the Kings are willing to pay, but I think he is a good rotational guy. He's a good guy to have if you're trying to be a winning team, a playoff team, coming off your bench. I've been impressed with Trey Lyles since he got here, and he's played better this year than he did last year.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not statistically, but just the eye test. It feels like he's played better this
year. Yeah, we've got to avoid like the Ike Diagu situation, you know, where everyone thinks that Ike's going to get all this money and he doesn't get anything. You know, Harry Giles, same thing, right? Like, everyone's like, oh, you can't opt out of his contract. He's going to get $6 million or $7 million. You're not going to be able to afford him. And, you know, that's not what happened. And so I think with Trey, it's very specific. You go into free agency and you want to retain him, but he's on the list of players that you want to retain. And I'll even say, down the stretch, I think we're going to see him, especially against smaller teams, like, he's going to play a lot more small ball five. Mm-hmm. He's going to be sort of that answer if they don't go get someone at the deadline. Mm-hmm. Because he can do so much. He can space the floor. He is strong. He can rebound in that situation. And we're going to start seeing him slide over. And you could see it in the playoffs where your rotation really drops to like 8-man rotation with, you know, Sabonis is going to play 40 plus minutes in the playoffs. And you could see that Trey could be one of the few guys that come off the bench just because he's not going to make mistakes. He's going to do the things you need him to do.
Trey's up this year. Chemezi, is he up?
He's up. Alex Len. Terrence Davis.
Yeah, Alex Len and TD excluded from this conversation. Specifically Chemezi, and we can include Harrison and Trey Lyles. Do you think those guys see extensions before the season ends?
No.
None of them?
Yeah, I mean, well, should they consider Harrison? Sure. But I think, again, you want to get through the trade deadline. Let's see what happens here. I don't think, like, Harrison Barnes will be part of that. And we got Mike Brown going out and saying he's irreplaceable and that he absolutely wants him here after the deadline. Mm-hmm. I get that. And we talked to Harrison yesterday, and he's come around. You can tell, like,
oh, good.
He would be a lot more receptive to being here than I think he would have, like, clearly during the summer. Like, mm-hmm. like we've seen a pretty big change. He even, at the end of his press conference yesterday, you know, of his media scrum, he said, yeah, you know, we might even be able to get like a home playoff series. And I'm like, wait, what did you just say? I'm like, did you just say home playoff series? And he's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, we could have home court. I'm like, okay.
Cocky Harrison
okay,
Barnes.
Wait a sec. Well, you don't even think about that. The 3 seed means you get home court. Like, if any Kings fan is out there thinking about home court right now, you'd slap them. Like, what are you thinking? Like, that's not going to happen. But they keep winning and they keep doing things.
Look at those standings. It's right there.
Just me and Harrison Barnes. We're the only one to be thinking that way.
Kenny's already got his seats.
I think. Well, of course, they're right next to Uncle V's. That's like, right. Why wouldn't
courtside?
They be?
Kenny's already got his seats.
You've done a great job, Uncle V. You've done a great job. Let me be the first to tell you.
So you don't think those guys will get extensions? Is that something that, like, you don't think it wouldn't make sense for the Kings to do? It wouldn't make sense for Chemezi or Trey Lyles to do? Do you explore the market before you sign those guys? Like, what's your line of thinking with those two specifically?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I look at both of those players completely differently as far
Understood.
As Chemezi and Trey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think one fits into one box, one fits into another. So, yeah, are you going to chase them in free agency? Are you really going to strongly consider bringing a guy like Trey Lyles back, maybe even Chemezi back? Sure, you're going to at least keep the door open. But, I mean, I would point out, in Chemezi's case very specifically, look at how good Damian Jones was for this team last year. Mm. And they did not, like, make a move for him to come back. And, I mean, these same guys were on the court outside of Sabonis. Like, you still had Rashawn Holmes. You still had Alex Len. And he was playing minutes, and they weren't. There came a point where Rashawn stepped away. But there was a point where Damian Jones was playing major minutes. and you didn't even really consider bringing him back at like 26 years sure. old. So, you know, I think they'll keep their options open there. I think with Trey, he just makes sense. Like he's not going to get a bunch of money, I don't think. Usually once you go down in salary, you don't go way back up. Very seldom do you see a player go way up. So could he get a 2-year six, a 2-year seven? Sure. Mm. But I also, because he signed a 2-year, I think it's 2-year $5 million deal. I don't think he's eligible for an extension because he has to have a certain amount of years. As far as Chemezi, yeah, there's some way that you could, some mechanism, but I wouldn't think that either one of them are going to be something that you would do that with right now.
Okay, we'll come back. We'll talk more Kings basketball. We'll talk specifically about Kings basketball tonight against Nick Nurse and OG and Pascal and that whole crew with Toronto. And we'll do that when we return. James Hamm, D'Lo and KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
D'Lo and KC continues. Streaming live on the Odyssey app.
If you said, here we go, like James didn't hear that.
I forgot. Well, typically,
I'm not
James
here.
James is on the, yeah, so we always got to tell him, hold on, but I forget. Man, James right in the studio with us now.
He is, man. We're here talking Kings basketball with the Sacramento Kings taking on the Toronto Raptors tonight. The point differential for a team comfortably under 500 right now in the Toronto Raptors is pretty interesting. It's like .0. It's like .2 or something. Hmm. They're losing games at a razor thin margin. They're a team with a ton of talent. And James, correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I think this is a team that can create some frustration for the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, I mean, Toronto's actually, they're a plus .2 in net rating on the season, which is 15th best in the league. They are losing a lot of tight games. They're a bit of a mess, though. They're long, they're athletic, they're very physical. I love, like, you can give me like 5 or 6 of their players. Like, they have guys up and down that roster. I'd be like, oh yeah, I take Fred VanVleet. I would take certainly Scottie Barnes. Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, Gary Trent. Like, they have a lot of players that are, like, they're quality players. And all that length they have is, you know, that's the type of thing that the Kings are just lacking. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, they're not putting it together, which I find really strange because I think Nick Nurse is incredible. He's a great coach. I was up there for the finals, you know, covering Warriors for, like, I was up there twice and had another plane ticket scheduled to go up for if there was a game 7. Mm-hmm. And I just think he's a bright mind and he usually has a really good pulse on his team. And for some reason this year it's just not working out. And I think they're closer to blowing things up than they are to, like, bringing it all back and trying to fix something. Yeah. And that just seems really strange to me.
I don't mean any disrespect by this, but they don't have any number ones. They got a lot of twos and threes, which you can win in the regular season with, for sure. But Pascal Siakam, as much as I like his game a lot, like I really like his game, and he's played great. He's probably going to make the All-Star team this year. I don't look at him as a number one. They don't have a number one out there.
Yeah, as a true number one on like a really, really good contending team, no. I mean, is he a number one? He's a number one like Julius Randle's a number one. Mm. You know, they're really, really good players, but they're not really good players on a 50-win team, a 55-win team that's like going to be playing for like the Eastern Conference Finals.
Like you talk about the point differential and close games, like where are you going in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
You need a bucket. Van Fleet, he can hit it, but I mean, he's still kind of small-ish and they got guys who can hit buckets. Siakam can hit buckets, but they don't have a Fox
mm-hmm.
who's gonna get you whatever he wants whenever he wants.
Hmm. No, I mean it's very true. I mean, you could look at Siakam's stats and then look at Sabonis' stats. They're not that far off. Like if you really balance everything out, but Sabonis is a much more impactful player. It feels like. More center of the universe, like a guy that you design everything around. So I guess you're right there. I think what they will transition to do is make Scotty Barnes into that type of player for them, like a Draymond Green with slightly more offensive potential. Mm-hmm. That's and better length, better size. Yeah.
He's really good. But
oh, yeah, I love Scotty Barnes. Neither is Draymond.
No, but see that. But you said it and I agree with you. Like, I think they look at Scotty eventually they want to build a franchise around him. But here's what I always say about stuff like that. Like, yeah. If you build a franchise around him and he's not a number one, you're still going to have to find a number one.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a difference between a number one scoring option and a number one option. So, like, for the Kings, the number one on this team, it's not De'Aaron Fox, it's Domantas Sabonis. The number one scoring option is De'Aaron Fox. The number one option, the guy that you run everything through and everything around and who really makes the thing run is Sabonis. Mm. And I mean, you're surrounding. It just so happens that both of their skill sets work perfectly with if you line up shooters all around them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're complementary pieces in that way. While they're not fully complementary because neither one of them is a knockdown three-point shooter, stats be damned this season, like here and there, like sure they've had some moments, but you know, in order for those two to work, you have to have all the spacing and all these players that make sense. Just like LeBron, like that's a silly thing about like the Lakers, the construction of the Lakers, but also the construction of the Cavs for plenty of the years when he was there too. Like if you don't put shooters around him, then you're doing yourself and him a complete disservice. He is the most disruptive force on the court that you can ever find. And he draws so much attention that every single shooter gets wide open looks. That's why Buddy Hield, while, you know, like I covered Buddy for a long time and I know Buddy's flaws, Buddy Hield would average 20-something points a game for that team. He would have shot, you know, 10, 11, 12, exactly what he's doing with Indiana, where he's, you know, he's really highly functional. If he's your second or third best player, that's not a good thing, which is what was the case here in Sacramento for way too long. Buddy Hield can't be that, but he can be one of your top scoring options. And that's where, like, I kind of differentiate. Like, you can have a true, like, dominant number one player. I mean, Sabonis doesn't average 19 points a game. So, I mean, he's right underneath that. So it's not like Sabonis is going out there every night and carrying you to victory in a conventional way where he's scoring all these points. But what he is doing is he's controlling the entire game. He's, you know, between assists and screen assists and scoring, he's over 50 points a game that he's impacting directly. Those are things that you just can't replace.
And I agree. But with those guys, you still need the guy that's going to put up 25. And those guys don't fall on trees or come off trees, right?
Yeah.
Like even you look, I have this – talk when people talk about Evan Mobley. Evan Mobley's really good. And they're like, yo, Evan Mobley is the franchise. They still had to go get Donovan Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
So how franchise are you really if they got to go get another guy that can produce more?
And well, I know you got to have more. Yeah. Like I don't.
But if they like if the it, Cavs if the Cavs had Donovan Mitchell, they wouldn't be like, we have to go get Evan Mobley. They go find somebody fine. Like Garland or like Jared Allen to complement.
Well, Donovan is the guy who was available. Like, what if the guy available was Jamal Murray? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, Donovan was the guy who you could go get. It wasn't
but Jamal can go get it. Like, he'd be in the same place.
I know what you mean.
If it was flipped, they wouldn't. They'd love to have Evan Mobley, but they wouldn't. They'd be like, man, Jared Allen, we can get a guy like that. You don't have to be franchised.
Evan Mobley on the trading block would be what, like what Sabonis was last year. Mm. It'd be talked about like, oh, it'd be good. And then it's kind of like, oh, we traded a young draft pick for him. For Evan Mobley? Oh, why?
I love Mobley.
I think guys like Evan Mobley, those types of games, Evan Mobley, Devontae, I think they're almost disrespected because they're not. Mm-hmm. The 50-point scoring capability that Donovan Mitchell was, or Jamal Murray, or insert high-scoring guard here.
Get it.
I think it's like the only player that I can think of in the league that really you're kind of talking about that, like a all-around the scorer that does everything type deal is Luka, right? But we've seen that it's so incredibly difficult to build a team around Luka. Like they haven't done it. They still don't. Haven't done it. They haven't figured it out fully how to build a team around Luka. Mm-hmm. And that's really weird because it's with LeBron, we saw what they did early in his career where they built a team around him that was, man, some of those teams he took to the finals were crazy bad. Like, I don't.
Who was it? Sasha Pavlik was the shooting guard?
They had Zydrunas Ilgauskas, they had Booby Gibson, they had
Virgil. You
know, yeah, Anderson Virgil. Was it Mo Williams? Was his second
Shout
best player
Jackson
on his team?
State, you know, head coach.
It was a defensive juggernaut, though, wasn't it?
Well, they went out there. Well, because of him,
the league was.
Because I'm not putting Zydrunas Ilgauskas on any defensive, you know, like all defensive team. Like most of those players, I'm not. Even like a guy like Mo Williams is okay defensively.
Booby, you won't put Booby on an all defensive team?
Not really. I mean, your big move was to go out and get like 32-year-old Antoine Jameson.
Larry Hughes.
So, I think they went and got Shaq once.
Yeah. So it's funny though because
who remembers the Shaq era in Cleveland?
That's right. We talk so much about like
bodyguard.
How he goes to Miami and they build this super team. Well, it mainly was because he was on an island by himself forever, and it's like okay, I couldn't win that way, so I'm going to go win with the super team. And now they've tried to kind of go back and like the super team hasn't worked out because of injuries and stuff like that. But they've never built the team around them like they should have. Mm-hmm. You know, like Miami, how much did they need Ray Allen? They needed him a ton because he's a guy who spaced the floor because he had the other three guys. I mean, Chris Bosh was the best floor spacer of the three at that point in their careers. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's interesting.
That's traitor Ray Allen, right, Jesse? traitor.
I don't have any beef with Ray Allen anymore. Okay. We're good. All right. KG and Paul
Wait a minute.
Said they're good.
Did you say I don't have any beef with Ray Allen anymore?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're good. All right. Paul and KG said they're good, so we're good.
They hugged it out.
I love you Celtics guys, man. You guys are the best.
They all hugged it out. You're
lucky to step
family.
On Lucky, though.
Tried to trade the man, and they get mad because
they literally blamed every issue that team had on him, and then he left, and we're not going to talk to him for a decade and a half.
Well, yeah, he went to the team they were competing against in the Eastern Conference Finals every time.
Well,
you guys didn't want him.
Yeah, but don't go there. Don't go there.
Would you? There's so much talking. I don't imagine it's going to quiet down if Toronto keeps losing. Headed into the trade deadline on the 9th, that Toronto is a team, high-end teams are going to watch to see if they splinter apart that group. There is a lot of talent over there. Would you do it? Would you? Is Toronto as a playoff, top six, playoff contender done?
I can't imagine that it is.
I can't either, but
they have
man,
too much
they're
talent.
Ready to.
You're just waiting the whole time for them to figure it out.
It's done. They're not top 16 this year.
I don't know.
No, I mean, period. Like the group of Siakam and OG and
yeah, ain't no top
and Scotty, it can't be salvaged. It's done.
Yeah, ain't no top 16. Not that group. They could add on to
that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about this year.
But I'm talking about moving forward. But that's what it is. Like, you have to add on.
Yeah. I got that. But let me phrase the question differently. Obviously, this is my fault. Would you break the group up?
I hope they get broken.
If I can't add on, I would. If that makes it. Like that's anything, right? Like, you have to add on. When you talk about the group, the group's got to be different.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because you're talking about, would I break this group up? Yeah.
You'd break up Scottie Barnes, Siakam, and OG. You'd break that group up. That group, as the core of a team you build around, isn't going to work.
That group, no.
Okay. That's what I was asking. I'm a broadcast journalist.
To be top six, no.
Okay.
Because that's what they're facing right now.
Top six in the East is.
Right.
They're also
cracked, too.
Now, here's the thing about, like, your question. I mean, moving one of them, I don't think is blowing it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you move OG and keep Siakam, Barnes, and Van Fleet, you know, that's not – you could probably even stand to move two of them and get something back that helps you. You know? It's just going to be a different era of that particular Raptors group. But,
Miami. All
of them – when I hear blow up, I think get rid of all of them. And
I think getting rid of at least two of them. That's what I think is blowing it. Because I don't think they're trading Scottie Barnes.
Mm-mm. No.
Scottie Barnes, I don't think they're trading him.
Well, I think.
And maybe that's what the build around thing is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he's 21.
He's the guy you're keeping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moving the other guys.
Well, that's the problem you have with, like, Fred Van Vliet. He's 28 and he wants like that. 130 or 140 million.
Yeah.
I think he turned down like a huge extension offer. And so it puts you in a really awkward position because he's an unrestricted free agent this summer, and there's a good chance you lose him for nothing. So,
well, that's a flaw of the CBA that they should correct today. If they corrected that today, there's no Domas drama.
There you go.
But
there it is.
That's probably not being corrected before Domantas Sabonis is a free. I didn't realize Miami's a top 6 team.
Well, I can't believe that.
I don't know if there is, like, the Domas drama. I think, like, how much do you think that yesterday fixed any potential Domas drama?
Well, drama is probably an unfair word, especially with this fan base and organization. But it's still like Domas is going to be a free. An extension isn't coming. It makes zero financial sense for Domas. He can be offered one, but it doesn't make sense for him to sign it. Domantas Sabonis is going to be free to leave the Sacramento Kings. That's the. Maybe drama is the wrong word, but Kings fans are absolutely going to be concerned unless he does a press conference and says, I'm not leaving. Or after they sweep the Golden State Warriors in the first round of the playoffs, he'll I'm going to light the beam and I'm not going anywhere. That won't even work because Kyrie did it. Kyrie did it.
There's a little bit of a difference.
Kyrie did it in front of the Boston Celtics fans. And everyone just kind of ignored it, like, yeah, okay. And then he left.
He also said he's going to go, like, I mean, you expect it. He's going to go on a walkabout and see if he falls off the face of the earth because it's flat.
Well, he said today he wants a contract. His agent said.
Well, of course he does.
In Brooklyn.
NBA Eastern Conference All-Star Kyrie Irving. We'll see if that actually happens, but he should be in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll see if it happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
The talent's never—it's like undeniable, but
never has been.
Yeah,
well, I was just saying, like, this particular year, we'll see if it happens. We'll see if they put him on the All-Star team, but he should be. You know, I think this is just a gut feeling for me. I'm not saying either one of you feel differently. I'd be surprised if Sabonis wasn't here. There's not much drama or angst for me. I think as a young man, you know, looking for some place to establish and create some roots, and now it's been shown that this team can be successful. I think there's a great, great, like, chance that he's. Whenever it's financially good for him to sign that deal, that's the only thing holding it up, is the fact that it doesn't make sense for him to sign this offseason. I think he's staying 100%.
If you asked him today, that would like an honest off the record, that would probably be his answer. Mm-hmm. But we're a long ways away from, you know, not this coming summer, but the following summer. Like, things can happen. You never know. I will say, like,
Kings
do believe...
Kings could win a couple championships before then, I mean.
Yeah, there it is. But I do believe
James
that...
James will get a ring. Another one to add to your collection of championship rings.
By that point, I should have like six.
Bill Russell Ham.
Yeah. How many championships I should have had, though?
Y'all been waiting for that James Ham book. Just wait. James is going to have a book coming out called 12 Rings.
Yeah. From Rags to Rings. There's a title right there. From Rags to Rings. It's almost like someone write that down for me. I'm looking at Sabonis, and like we talked to him today, and he was asked very specifically, like, does that help you build confidence in what's happening here that Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox are back? And he said, yeah, these are the guys that wanted me. They're the ones that went out and got me. They're the ones who took the gamble to get me.
Yeah.
You know, who got raked over the coals by national media for giving up Tyrese Halliburton. So, you know, I think it's interesting. That this it will play a part of it, because that's going to be the group. The guys who did trade for him, who have embraced him, are the ones who are going to be here to make that decision for him. At least they should.
Did he say Tyrese by name?
No. Okay. No.
He's he's never once referenced that trade. I've never heard him reference the trade, not one single time. Never heard him mention the trade, Pacers, Tyrese, Indiana, Hoosiers, place I used to be, like nothing. Larry Bird, I've never heard him mention anything.
It's funny, like I feel the same way that I believe he does. Like, it's over and done with. It was a chapter in a book, and that chapter is over, and I've moved on to the next chapter. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how, like, do we bring up Tyrese here and there? Like, look, I love watching Tyrese as a player. Like, once the deal happened, we did like the digest it and like break it down to like the like minutia, and just completely kept like harping on it for like 3 or 4 days. And then for me, it was like, okay, it's over. Like, I don't cover him anymore. And I thank God I don't have to go aggregate content, and every single time he says something on some podcast, I don't have to go write 600 words on what Tyrese Halliburton just said like I used to. But for me, it's one of those things where you're like, look, I cover a lot of NBA players. I've covered hundreds of NBA players. You just have to move on to the next one. And that's kind of how I feel like Sabonis is. Like, he'd been traded before. He'd been traded. This is his fourth trade. So he's like, this is old hat. Like, I understand what happened, and I'm moving on. And it doesn't matter that I was a two-time All-Star, or that I was the center of the franchise, or anything else. They never paid him that way. It's not like here in Sacramento where, like, you didn't just keep saying the Fox is the head of the snake and the face of the franchise. You paid him $163 million over 5 years. Mm-hmm. Like, he's making 30-something million this year and every year for the next four. Sabonis has never had that. Like, he's only making $19 million. He's never been told that you are, not only did you make the All-Star team, but you are our All-Star. You are our star, and we're going to pay you the way that a star is paid. And that's a big difference too. Like, it just hasn't happened for him. And the Kings are going to roll out the red carpet and make sure he feels like he is he's embraced as a star that he is. Because holy cow, the dude is a flat out star. He's right now he's playing as one of the best top five players in the league. People keep saying, like, oh, you're crazy. Go look at the advanced stats.
He's gonna start in the All-Star game.
I think so. Like,
he's gonna be LeBron's first draft pick.
James Ham will mow DeMontis Sabonis' lawn.
I don't know where his lawn is, but I'll just tell you, like, every single national or every writer that has the right to vote has him as a starter that I've seen.
It's good stuff. I know. Slater said that, right? Didn't Slater say that yesterday? Mm-hmm. Slater has a vote. He said that yesterday, that he cast him as a starter. We appreciate you so much for being with us. If you're on youtube.com/ESPN1320, Twitch, Facebook, make sure you hit the thumbs up before you go. Make sure you hit the subscribe buttons. If you haven't downloaded the Odyssey app, go do that. Download the Odyssey app on whatever your iOS platform is, your Android platform is. Search ESPN 1320. Save Us as your favorite radio show. You'll get alerted when we go live with special segments off hours. And if you're listening on the Odyssey app or on 1320 AM, don't go anywhere. Uh-uh. We'll come back You'll hear from Will Z. You'll hear from our man Hunter Patterson. And you'll hear more Kings basketball here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Okay.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.